Good morning. You can tell a lot about a person by what they argue about. So, you ever thought about that? So think about it this morning. What causes you to get in an argument? What are the things you're willing to argue about? You know, one person might get all upset about this play that happened in the game. You know, he was being held. No, he wasn't. And friends get in an argument, you know. Other people are like, what are you arguing about sports? It doesn't matter. And then another person is all upset about this vote or that vote or, you know, how's it going to go? Another person's like, just they don't even care. It's so revealing what you get up in arms about, what you care about enough that you're willing to argue about it. I love the story in the Gospels. I think it's in the Gospel of Mark, where Jesus is walking down this road with his disciples, and the disciples are having an argument behind him. Actually, this is one of the roads that they may have been walking on. This is walking along the side of Mount Arbel, looking out over the Sea of Galilee. Isn't that beautiful? I'll take you there. Hopefully this October, you know, I know some of you are like, what? You're going to go there while it's like this? Absolutely not. But I believe this will pass over because this happens in Israel and then things get back to normal. So come to the meeting tonight, right? We're having this meeting about the tour. That's today at 5:00. So I'll take you there and we'll walk the same paths as Jesus, but hopefully there'll be no arguing. Right? So Jesus is walking down the road with these disciples, and they're arguing. And in Mark chapter 9, it says that when he was in the house, he asked them, hey, what were you guys arguing about on the road? Now, some of you know this story because they kept quiet, verse 34 says, because they were on the way, they were arguing about who was the greatest, which is so ironic because here is the greatest, Jesus, and yet humble as the humble king. And the guys who are following him, remember, disciples are people who follow Jesus. Actually, can you say this with me? Disciples are people who follow Jesus to learn from Jesus, to become like Jesus. I'm proud of you. You're doing good. Disciples follow Jesus to learn from Jesus, to become like Jesus. That's not happening in Mark 9. They're following Jesus, but they're not following his way. They're just following a pathway. And they're not becoming like him because they're arguing about who's the greatest. And then the next verse, verse 35, Jesus sits down and calls the 12, that's the 12 disciples, and says to them, guys, anyone who wants to be great or who wants to be first must be the very last and the servant of all. Well, you would think, wow, that would just settle things. But it's not a chapter later, and they're having this discussion again about what it means to be great and servant. So in Mark chapter 10, Jesus says, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. And then these stunning words. For even the Son of Man, he's referring to himself. This is one of Jesus' favorite titles for himself, the Son of Man. For even the Son of Man, who's God himself, right? Second person of the Trinity, who's come down to earth. Even he did not come to be served, but to serve. This is my MO, Jesus says. I left heaven to serve. Let that just sink in for a minute. Jesus left all the glory of heaven, not just because he happened to be there, but because it's his home. He's the second person of the Trinity. He's the eternal God. And he leaves all of that beauty, all of that splendor to come to earth to do what? To serve. That is a stunning statement. And he did this day after day. He's trying to help his disciples. And today we're reading the Gospels. And today we're in a church that talks about following Jesus, to learn from Jesus, to become more like Jesus. We have a mission statement to lead people in the adventure of becoming more like Christ. We're all about this whole idea of becoming more and more like Jesus. And the gospel writers, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they keep telling a story of Jesus serving, Jesus washing people's feet, Jesus feeding people, healing people, helping people, going around doing good. It's, in fact, when we were earlier in Luke chapter 4, I know we're going to get back to Luke. Some of you are missing Luke. We saw how Luke says at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, I know it's Luke 4, but he spends the first three chapters talking about the birth of Jesus and John the Baptist and all these things getting ready. Luke 4 launches the ministry of Jesus, and Luke wants us to see that all this is going to start with Jesus being full of the Spirit and then being led by the Spirit. And then starting with that very chapter, chapter 4, and going throughout the rest of the Gospel of Luke, it's one story after another of Jesus serving people. And then he talks about being in the, living in the power of the Spirit and being anointed by the Spirit. And it's clear as a bell that Luke wants us to picture Jesus as launching into this ministry of serving people. He's not just teaching. He's not just preaching. He's going from place to place. Later on, Luke would write another book called Luke version 2 or Luke number 2. We call it the book of Acts because Luke wrote this. And he describes, looking back over Jesus' life, that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. Remember, we saw the anointing and the power, this verse here. He anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. And then Jesus went around doing good. And the doing good is, again, like we said, serving people, healing people, feeding people, doing all these kinds of things to help people and modeling for his disciples. If you're going to follow me, to learn from me, to become more like me, I want you to get this particularly, this core Christ-like characteristic down. And that is that I am a Holy Spirit-led, because I'm filled with the Spirit and led by the Spirit, I am a Holy Spirit-led servant. So you could write down in your notes that one of the indications that a person is full of the Spirit and led by the Spirit is how they serve others. This is not nearly as popular as some of the other things that are more sensational, that people like to say, well, that person must be full of the Spirit or led by the Spirit because they do this, they speak in tongues or they do these other things. We never see Jesus speaking in tongues. It's the sensational things that people want to say today. Well, that's the mark of being led by the Spirit. You don't see that in the life of Jesus. Instead, what you see, the mark of the Spirit, the indication that you have the Spirit, is that you serve one another in love. Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. Serve one another in love. And so we've been talking about becoming more like Christ for 5 weeks now. Keep throwing this verse up here, growing in every way, including the serving, to become more and more like Christ. And we've been, you know, laying out this acronym and helping you see each, as we work through each one of these, this is what we see in the New Testament, what it meant to be a person who was like Christ, because this is how Christ lived. And today, this whole idea of being a Spirit-led servant, we want to talk about this and what does it look like to grow into becoming more like Christ in a way that you are now a Holy Spirit-led servant. We want to grow in that. And so go back to this verse, this statement, that this is this true of your life? Is there an indication in your life of being a servant? Are there things, that stories that people can tell about you becoming more like Christ as you serve people? Is there examples of you serving? And how do you serve? And so this is where I want to kind of camp today and talk about it. As we grow in becoming a Spirit-led servant, just like we've seen throughout the whole series, in each one of these core Christ-like characteristics, we want to progress through the stages of growth. We want to, let's just talk about, remind those people, that's a person who becomes a Christian, they begin in Christ. Hopefully they very quickly start moving into this next stage of becoming young in Christ. They're growing out of the brand new stage, and now they're growing all the way into stage 3 where they're maturing in Christ. And then finally, the fourth stage, in the stages of growth, the fourth stage is that you are now reproducing other people. You're leading other people, and it's particularly in this one, you're leading other people in becoming a Spirit-led servant. You're not just serving, way to go, it's awesome. You're not just growing in your serving, but you're growing as a Spirit-led servant. So here's the outline. It's in your notes, or you can just look up here. We got 4 points today, and each one of these is One of the, is this stage of growth, particularly in growing in this whole idea of being a spirit-led servant, because you don't grow evenly. You know, let's do this. Instead of having 1, 2, 3, 4 down like that, let's flip this because, you know, we grow up, right? So you don't grow evenly throughout this whole idea of becoming a Christ-like person, so that you have the same growth in the C characteristic as the same growth as the H characteristic and R. No, it's an uneven growth. So you move through this growth in the C area, connecting to God through the word and prayer. You might like be way up here, but in the heart of worship, you're farther down, or relating with other-centered love. Or maybe you're down here. A lot of people, and when it comes to intentional evangelism, they're way down here. But that's the uneven, that's how we grow and in Christ. We don't grow just, you know, evenly across the board. And so each time we talk about one of these core Christ-like characteristics, we've been asking you to take the next step survey to find out where you are, how mature are you, how like Christ are you, and to go based upon your very own answers to see, this is how mature I am in Christ. This is how much like Christ I am. So today, in this whole idea of being a spirit-led servant, we want to help you grow. You know, I reverse them again. So get your notes out. Start with this very first stage of becoming more like Christ. And it's the beginning stage. This is the person who just became a Christian. This is a person who just surrendered their life to Christ, and they're just learning so many things. And if you're in a church that teaches the word of God like we do, or you're in a group of people that are helping disciple you, you'll be growing rapidly in this stage. And the whole idea is that you are learning to live out your salvation. What you may not know in the beginning stages is that God has filled you with his Holy Spirit. That's how you became a Christian. He filled you with the Holy Spirit, who's now leading you. He's helping you. He's coaching you. He's in you, and he's leading you to help you grow in each one of these core Christ-like characteristics. He's helping you to grow to become more and more like Christ. But most people in this stage are unfamiliar with who the Holy Spirit is, let alone how he's working, let alone how he's working specifically in this stage we're looking, or this core Christ-like characteristic we're looking at today, this idea of being a Holy Spirit-led servant. And so that's why we need teaching. That's why we challenge you to come every Sunday. That's why we invite you into a Sunday school class or an adult Bible fellowship, where you're hearing teaching about who is the Holy Spirit and what is he doing in the life of a believer and how is he helping you grow and introducing you, hopefully, to this whole idea that the Holy Spirit is working to shape your life. But most people in this stage are unaware of that. Again, a reason for teaching. Now, why do I have this capitalized? Because it's another acronym. Now, I made up the Christ acronym, but I did not make up the SHAPE acronym. Somebody else invented this years and years and years ago. And it's worth me unpacking this for you, because as God shapes your life, as God grows you to be more like Jesus, this SHAPE is the combination of these five things. Number one, your spiritual gifts. Notice the word spirit there. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 12, now about the gifts of the Spirit, that's what this is, the spiritual gifts, about the gifts of the Spirit, I don't want you to be unaware, uninformed. One translation says, I don't want you to be ignorant about these things. So Paul's writing to Christians, some of them young Christians, and he's like, I want you to understand that God's given every believer at least one spiritual gift. Have you ever heard that before? If you're a follower of Jesus, if you're full of the Holy Spirit, if you are a Christian, not an American, if you're a Christian, the Spirit of God works in you, you have at least one, probably two or three, maybe as many as four spiritual gifts, gifts of the Holy Spirit that you have. And it's not a one-size-fits-all. It's been, the Holy Spirit customizes the gifts to you. I remember the first time I discovered this, I actually was reading from 1 Corinthians and I came across that verse. Now about spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I don't want you to be unaware, ignorant, uninformed. And I thought, I am. I don't know what the heck you're talking about. What's a spiritual gift? I read that when I was in seminary. I was in my 20s and I'd grown up in the church and I'd never, well, at least I, if I never remember ever hearing about spiritual gifts. This is a very exciting thing. We'll talk a little bit more about this in a minute. The H stands for what you have a heart for. In other words, what you're passionate about. This is the area you might get into an argument about. One person has a passion for music, making music, singing. They always have music playing. Another person has a passion to work with children, to help children grow. Another person maybe has a more specific passion. I want to work with kids who are in the foster care system. I want to adopt a kid. I want to help other people adopt kids. I want to minister to orphans. Or another person says, I want to minister to, and I have a passion for unwed mothers and who are thinking about getting an abortion. No one cares about them. I want to minister to them. You have a passion about a people group or about an area, and the Holy Spirit has placed that passion in you, and you have a heart for that, we might say. From the moment you were born, you started to develop certain abilities. This is a part of your shape. God has given you a unique personality. You have a personality unlike anyone else on the planet. My wife is an identical twin, and yet she has a different personality than her identical twin. There's a lot of similarities, but they're not clones. God has lovingly shaped each one of us, and our personalities have been given to us by God. It's a part of what makes up our shape. And then this last one, the E, stands for the experiences that you've had in life. And this could be what kind of home you grew up in. Did you grow up in a single-parent home? Did you grow up in with a mom and a dad? Did your parents get divorced and then remarried? Or did they get divorced and not get remarried? Did one of your parents die? What kind of home did you grow up in? Was it a healthy home? Was it an abusive home? That shaped you. And then as you grew, what kind of educational experiences did you go through? Did you graduate from high school? Did you go to college? Did you graduate from college? Did you go on and get another degree? Educationally, you've been shaped. And then you think about life experiences that have happened along the way. Now, what kind of pain have you experienced in your life? Some of you have been able to skate through life and haven't experienced a lot of pain. Others of you, it feels like the moment you were born, you've just been in one difficulty after another. Some of us have just really been shaped. We might use a different verb now, forged in the fire. Pain shapes us. How we deal with that pain. So these are all experiences in life that are unique to you, and all of these things shape you. They kind of help us see this is who you are. And so what God wants to do is, as he's shaping us and working in our lives, he wants to then help find places to minister in the body of Christ, help us find ways to minister to the world in our neighborhood, in our workplace, that fit our shape. So it's not one size fits all or jamming you into, we need help in children's ministry, so sign up if you're a godly person. I can't stand kids. I'm not good with them. Do I have to? Yes, we need people. You get in there. No, that's not what we do. We ask first, how's God shaped you? What kind of gifts has he given you? Who are you? Because we believe that we've all been shaped to serve. All that shaping is not just for your own sake. In fact, it's really not for your sake at all. It's God's sovereign work in your life. It's the Holy Spirit's working in you, shape you to help you see this is how God's called me to serve. And, people in the first stage don't know any of this stuff. So hopefully, as they begin to hear it, they move into this second stage, the second stage of being young in Christ. And as a person who's young in Christ, now they're developing this shape and discovering. So even though I introduced it to you in stage one, most Christians are not hearing about their shape in the first week of becoming a Christian or the first couple of weeks. They discover this as they come to church, as they get involved in ministry, as they, like in our church, as they explore the website and see all the things that are on our website and tools that we've designed to help you grow. For instance, if you don't know what your shape is, we can help you discover that. You go to our website, and at the top here, there's a menu, and this, what I've highlighted here is the phrase next steps, and that brings you to this page, and you go down on this page, and there's our SHAPE acronym. And there's a tool there actually, it's a combination of five different tools. So this is the spiritual gifts assessment. You take that. Here's the heartbeat survey. You take that. So you click on these, and as you take these assessments, and it starts spitting out information, you're seeing your shape, the combination of your spiritual gifts, your heart, your abilities, your personality, your experiences. That's shaping you, and you're like, woo, this is who I am. I remember when I first started discovering my spiritual gifts. I'm like, no, I don't have that gift. Well, yes, I did. See, when you become a Christian, God begins to birth so many things inside of you. One of them is those spiritual gifts. They're literally given at the moment you're born again. Just like the first birth, you know, physical birth, if you're going to be a great athlete or a great musician, all those genes are in there at birth. And if you're not a great athlete, it doesn't matter how much you work to be a great athlete. If you don't have the genes, you don't have the genes. You know, you can be better, but you'll never be great. Well, in the same way that when you're born physically, what color your eyes are going to be, what kind of, you know, are you going to be a numbers person, a musician, a sports person, you know, whatever, that's encoded in your DNA. There's a spiritual DNA in you when you become born again, when you become a Christian. And so if you're born again, they're in you. It's just that if you had never heard the teaching, you don't know that it's there. It's latent. It's there, but it's not something that's clear to you. So we invite you to take this, go to our website, and you'll discover your servant profile. You'll just begin to discover how you can serve in the new way of the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 7, verse 6, begin to serve, led by, filled with the Holy Spirit. And of course, in stage 2, you're still learning so much. And so even if you've heard of the Holy Spirit, you're probably not very experienced in the Spirit. But this is good that you've moved in the second stage. And now you're beginning to recognize, like he keeps using this phrase, Holy Spirit, who is that? So you get into your Bible and you start looking around. And you start discovering, or maybe you've heard some beginning teaching about the Holy Spirit, but there's a yearning inside of you. I'm just describing some of you right now. There's a yearning inside of you to know more, to grow more. The Holy Spirit is actually creating desire in you to learn more about who the Holy Spirit is and how he works in your life. Do you know and can you recognize the voice of the Holy Spirit? See, as you get a more and more experienced, as you move through these stages, you begin to recognize, well, that's the Holy Spirit speaking. If you're still stuck in stage 2, and I use the word stuck because way too many Christians have been Christians for 10, 20, 30 years, and they're still here. They haven't yet discovered their shape, or they're still discovering, or they're not very experienced with the Holy Spirit, and so they're not maturing in this particular core Christ-like characteristic of becoming more like Christ as a spirit-led servant. There's a whole new way of living that's all about Jesus and how he lived, which we saw from Luke 4, is Jesus lived full of the Spirit and led by the Spirit. So as we grow through this stage, we actually begin to discover that serving is a way of growing. So finding your shape helps you know how and where you can serve. And as you serve, you begin to grow. I have grown so much as a spirit-led servant just by serving, especially when I got in over my head. And I'm like, I can't do this. This is beyond my pay grade. I'm not smart enough, experienced enough. I don't know enough. But the Holy Spirit grew me. And you will never grow as a spirit-led servant by just hearing sermons or just reading books. At this point, the only way for you to grow as a spirit-led servant is for you to start serving, start getting in the game, and that will begin to birth this kind of maturity to move you into the third stage. You will never move in to the third stage of spirit-led servant if you don't serve. It'll never happen. You will always be stuck in stage 2 or maybe even stage 1. So if stage 1 is maybe being introduced to your shape, stage 2 is discovering, then stage 3 is now I'm beginning to develop. Wow, I discovered I have these gifts. I want to get better at them. I want to deepen them. I want to strengthen them. I want to maximize my spirit, my personality. I want to maximize all that God has shaped me to be. I want to serve according to my shape. And this is the goal for each person who discovers their shape by taking those assessments. I'll give you an example. Recently, I heard a story about a woman in our church who was beginning to grow more and more, and she wanted to serve. So she went online and took some of our assessments, and it spit out to her this information. She's like, oh, yeah, that's me. Oh, yeah, that's me. And it indicated that a place that she might like serving is one of our ministries called We Care, or sometimes it's called We Care, We Share. And simply, Joanne Kieser heads that up in our church, and it's simply identifying people who don't have food, they have food insecurity, helping identify them, and then bringing food to their, delivering food to their house every other week, a whole box of food. And so it's whether it's helping identify those people or it's calling them and say, hey, we're headed over, you're gonna be there, or whether it's actually delivering the food or being a driver or whatever, packing it, there's all kinds of places. And so she jumped in and she's like, this is me. And so Joanne asked me, by the way, since I'm talking about this, to tell you, let you know, we need some more help in that very important ministry. So if you wanna get involved in We Care, We Share, grab Joanne or get on our website and it'll point you to places where you can serve. That's a really important ministry, but there are ministry opportunities all over our church like this, on our tech team, our guest services team, our children's ministry, our student ministry, our worship ministry. Each one of our campuses have all kinds of opportunities where you can, now having discovered your shape, you're developing that and you're serving according to your shape. Let me give you another example of a person who's stepping into a role that helps, really maximize the way God shaped them. Those of you who are relatively new to our church may not realize that we've got multiple campuses. So our first campus was the Lyric campus here. Then we launched the Avon Lake campus in 2012, then the Dominican Republic campus, Vermilion campus in 2014, and the Lorraine campus in 2020. And each one of these campuses has a campus pastor. So Our campus pastor at Avon Lake, shout out to Charlie, is Charlie Miller. Our campus pastor at Dominican Republic campus is Pastor Peter Bozzerio. And many people don't remember that John Jacobs used to be our campus pastor here in Elyria. The reason why they don't remember is because John was our life group pastor, and we began to recognize as we are multiplying campuses, we need some help here in the Elyria campus. And so we named John, and then like a couple months later, our Vermilion campus pastor left. So only a couple months into the Elyria campus pastor, we asked John to go help out Vermilion. He fell in love with them. They fell in love with him. Shout out to Vermilion, or V-Town, as John lovingly calls you. And so we moved John to the Vermilion campus, and now we have this opening. So we've been looking for the right person to fill that hole, to fill that area. And so in the meantime, we basically did a lot of the Elyria campus responsibilities by a committee, Pastor Bob Wickens, myself, Pastor Mark Geisbauer, Pastor Pierce Brown, and other directors on our campuses. And so we kind of did this by committee, but we kept looking. Who could be the next Elyria campus pastor? We need that role filled. We thought about maybe that could be Jason Russ, but no, God was calling Jason to be our Lorraine campus pastor. And so this has been open for a while now, and recently, as we've been just kind of watching the way God's been using people in our church, and specifically in the whole area of discipleship, as discipleship area has become more and more focused at each campus, our pastor of discipleship was doing a lot of his ministry in Elyria, and so I'm here to announce, and I'm excited about it, that Clay Wright is our new Elyria campus pastor. So how about you come up here for a minute? Do you have a mic? And I didn't tell you this, but can you just finish preaching? Thank you.
Wow.
he probably could. But just give you a couple words so I can sort of say something, brother.
Yeah, thanks so much, Pastor Jim. I first of all, I'm incredibly humbled at this opportunity. And yet I'm also incredibly excited by it. As a pastor, we don't follow opportunities. We don't follow job advancement schedules. We follow the call of God on our lives. Just like Jim has been saying, we follow the lead of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And so it's been really, really wonderful for me to look back over the last 18 months and see how God has been preparing me for this role. Yeah. And because that's absolutely what I see. You know, I've been living and serving in Elyria for about 4 years now. And as I've been praying for Elyria, as I've been serving with you all and praying for you all, God has given me a soft spot yes. for this place sure. called Elyria, Ohio. And he's given me a soft spot for you guys. And so I'm really blessed to have this opportunity. And I'm excited to see what God is going to do in this next season and to serve you even more. It's been a blessing already. And so I'm filled with excitement as you are, Pastor. So.
Love it, man. Thank you. Give another big hand. So this is just the next step for Clay as he lives out how God has shaped him. And literally, this person I referred to in the We Care, We Share ministry and what Clay's doing, this is for all of us. Who knows, next week I might be announcing a new campus pastor. No, I won't be, but I'm sure. But each one of us have a next step. And we keep asking you this, what's your next step? Everyone has a next step. What's yours? And particularly today in this whole area of being a Spirit-led servant, what's your next step? Have you taken the next step survey? Have you taken the servant profile? Do you know your shape? And are you developing your shape? Are you continually taking those next steps to follow up in how the Spirit's leading you? How are you doing in learning to be led by the Holy Spirit? From time to time, people will come to me and say, Jim, I don't know how to hear from the Holy Spirit. I want to be led by the Spirit. And so I would sometimes ask them a question. And oftentimes, this is what I hear. They want to be led by the Spirit because they want to get in on some kind of a blessing. Or they want to be led by the Spirit because they want to get in on some sensational thing. Or they've heard some things about what the Spirit does. But rarely have I ever had someone come up to me and say, I want to learn to be led by the Spirit. I want to learn to recognize the voice of the Spirit so I can serve the people that God puts in my life. Now, some of you might be thinking, why do you need to be led by the Spirit to serve? Anybody can do that. Well, if that was the case, how come we have so many places where people aren't serving? But more importantly, yes, there's a lot of ways that you can serve where you don't necessarily have to be listening to the Holy Spirit and be led by the Spirit, but think of the ministry that can be done if, just like for instance, our church, if everybody who was a Christian in our church, everybody who was full of the Spirit, think of what our church would be like if everybody was listening for the voice of the Holy Spirit and responding to the promptings of the Spirit and then obeyed him and helped that person and helped that person and helped that person in the community or in the neighborhood, here at church. We're praying for people. We're listening to the Holy Spirit, listening for the Holy Spirit and stepping out and serving in all these kind of spontaneous ways. Because see, you can serve in a structured way. And that's by finding, like Clay, Pastor Wright, finding his area and serving that. You know, Clay has a job to do. We expect him to do that job. It's in our structure. It's a very planned way. There's Sunday opportunities. There's Wednesday opportunities that we've invited you into. And we expect you to show up because in the structure and the organization of the Church, the Open Door, there's places we've asked you to serve. And we expect you to. But that's a small picture of serving. What is exciting is all that spontaneous ministry, that prompted ministry where the Holy Spirit puts on your heart, go pray for that person because they're ready to give their life to Christ. And you were like, is that you, God? Is that you, Holy Spirit? Yes. And so you go talk to that person, you get into conversation with them, and you lead them into a relationship with Christ. You help them get saved. That's pretty exciting. Or, you know, this happens to my wife all the time. She'll just see somebody and the Holy Spirit will just prompt her to go up and say something and she'll give them money or she'll pray for them or just the Holy Spirit really is moving in her heart and she's very sensitive to hear what he has to say. And I get a first front row seat all the time for this kind of being prompted by the Spirit to feed, to to give somebody money, to help somebody, to pray for somebody. This is the adventure, you guys. All of us can live this adventure. Do we want you to continue and find a place to serve in the church, in the structure? Of course. Paul says, we are the body of Christ. We need hands to show up. We need elbows to do their job. We need eyes to work. Just like this metaphor of the body, we need the physical parts of our body to work. So Paul says we need the spiritual parts of the body of Christ to work. We need every one of you functioning in your role in the body of Christ. Again, just like a physical body does. But beyond that, there's this adventure, this serving as a lifestyle. This is one of the clearest indications that you're growing as a disciple, that you are maturing as a disciple and stepping in to these opportunities. And man, if you found that your life has gotten boring, start asking the Holy Spirit to open your eyes to the ministry that's all around you, at school, at work, in the neighborhood, in your family, at church. Wherever you are, wherever you go, the Spirit wants to lead you, to prompt you to serve other people. And we talked about this verse from Acts chapter 10, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. Then Jesus went around doing good. This is now our job, because God has anointed us as followers of Jesus with the Holy Spirit. And God has filled us with power and now wants us to go around being led by the Spirit to do good, to serve, to do good works. In fact, Ephesians chapter 2 says that we are God's workmanship. He's created us to do these very things. You've been created to be like Christ. You've been shaped to serve. This is your destiny. God has been shaping you. You are his handiwork, and he will continue to do that. And then to lead you into an area where you can serve and do good in a person's life to the glory of God. And as you do this more and more, you're maturing through this stage three. And there's a lot of growth you can do in stage three. But if you do not, if there's one particular thing that you don't do, you'll never move into stage four. And that is the idea of now reproducing in the lives of others. So in particularly in this core Christ-like characteristic of Spirit-led servant, you are now living and moving in the power of the Spirit in ways that he's opening your eyes to maximize the way that he's shaped you, to maximize that to the full, and that maximization, you might say, shows up in how you are helping others find their role in ministry. Just give you an example. All of our campus pastors are in this stage. I know each one of the guys, and now our new campus pastor in Elyria, Pastor Clay, is in this stage. I've watched all of our campus pastors help people find a way to get involved in ministry. That's reproducing. They're not just serving, thank God that they are, but they understand that the church needs them to operate in stage four maturity in being a Spirit-led servant and helping people, helping you all find your area of ministry and to learn to live as a Spirit-led servant in a serving lifestyle. And this kind of leader, all five of our campus pastors are living this kind of a servant leader lifestyle. Now, you don't have to be a campus pastor to be a servant leader, but you do have to be a servant leader in order to be a campus pastor in our church. And thank God each one of our guys are. And it's not just our campus pastors, all of our pastors and the directors in our church, and many of you who are maturing through the stages, I'm seeing servant leadership in your lives. Of course, the famous leadership expert, Henry Greenleaf, did not invent this phrase. A lot of people thought, yeah, Jesus invented the idea of being a servant leader. Remember the verse we started off talking about from Mark 10, where Jesus says, even the Son of Man, the greatest leader ever, did not come to be served, but to serve. That's that whole idea of growing to be more and more like Christ. And we will become more and more like Christ as we learn to be led by the Holy Spirit. And I dream about a church where everybody is operating, led by the Spirit. I dream about a church where people come to church to serve. And we scatter. We come to this place to worship. We come to this place and serve. And then we scatter into the community to serve and to be a light in the world. Now, that's the church that Jesus imagined. That's the church that Paul was trying to teach. And that's why stage four, servant leader, the Apostle Paul, wrote letters that we study in the church today to help us grow in this whole journey of becoming more and more like Christ. Help us grow specifically and to be led by the Holy Spirit to serve others. So here's the question I keep asking. What's your next step? What's your next step in this whole process? Because there is one. Everyone has a next step. So the story I told about the woman, the story we talked about with Clay, that's you. What's your next step? Let me just pray for you. Lord God, there's a whole adventure awaiting for everyone hearing my voice who will step into this growing to be more like Christ as a Spirit-led servant. Would you lead them in ways they cannot deny? Would you prompt them? Would you stir them? I even pray, would you goad them to get out of the seats, to get into serving, or if they're already serving, to find out what their next step is. God, may we as a church become more like Christ as we as individuals all take our next step. Would you work in us to help us become more like Jesus, more like Jesus in every way? For we pray this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Everybody said, amen.